Senate President Gates, the 2014 Florida legislative session came to a close late Friday with passage of a number of last-minute bills, including a $77.1 billion state budget.
That's true, and I'm very pleased with the budget this year. I believe that we've met the critical needs of the state, provided historic broad-based tax relief, increased our investment in education to the highest level in state history, and done a number of other things that may have involved some money in some cases, less money in other cases, but met the needs of Floridians for better health care, for better education, for a more broad-based and I think, richer cultural set of investments, and substantially increased our investment in child welfare and children's issues. So I think all around, a good budget, good for taxpayers. We had a couple of items that passed through the budget that drove the numbers higher, almost in an artificial way, $1.2 billion in low-income pool payments to area hospitals. And that money came from the federal government. We acted simply as a pass-through agent or a transfer agent for the money, but it drove our numbers up a little bit. And then something I insisted on, and that was $3 billion in reserves to set aside for a rainy day. So that drove our numbers up because we appropriated the money. But at the same time, I think it's very important to make sure that if we ever have another recession, that we don't have to do what some states do, and that shutter hospitals, close down schools, and not be able to meet our obligations to our retirees and our students.
Looking back at the session as a whole, what would you say are some of the highlights in terms of what you all were able to get done from your perspective?
Probably the tone of the session I would consider a highlight, Sandra, because instead of doing what speakers and Senate presidents have historically done, and that spent a lot of time plotting and scheming against each other and having turf battles, Speaker Will Weatherford and I set out 2 years ago to establish a joint work plan for each of the two sessions in which we were presiding officers. We did that. We successfully completed our work plans, and I think that was extremely helpful. But I would have to say as well that in the policy area, the dramatic legislation that we passed last year, the most sweeping ethics reform in 38 years, and then this year extending those ethics reforms to local government and quasi-governmental agencies is something that I'll always be proud of. And the other thing, frankly, is the historic, nationally significant initiative that Florida has taken in career technical education to transform the way that our high schools and middle schools and colleges approach the whole issue of lashing education to the realities of the economy, making sure that our students now have 248 different career fields, career technical fields, from culinary arts to information technology to aerospace to welding and lots more, that students can prepare for by earning national industry certifications while in school. And what we've learned, Sandra, is that these are students who, many of them started out as underperformers and maybe from poor families economically, but they're doing better. They have higher GPAs than their peers. There are 99% of them in career and professional education academies are graduating from high school, and they're getting better jobs at higher pay than students of their age. So I'm very proud of those accomplishments, and I give our whole legislative delegation from Northwest Florida credit for helping to support these initiatives.
Now, that bill you are referring to, that legislation, is this the Don Gates Act?
Well, the Senate and the House of Representatives on our last day in session renamed the Career and Professional Education Act in my honor, and that means a lot to me as a former school board member and as a superintendent. And as somebody who's long felt that education really needs to lead to an ability to compete in the economy for a real job, I'm so proud that they passed that act in my honor. And now in, I guess, 1,650 career and professional academies around the state, students earning tens of thousands and scores of thousands of industry certifications so they can get real jobs, I'm mighty proud that my name's on it, And that's a whole lot better than having your name on a building or anything else, is to have your name associated with an initiative, a nationally significant initiative that helps students actually graduate and then get jobs.
Now that the session is over, two of the measures that are getting a little bit of attention and that have along the way, legalizing low-THC grade cannabis for Floridians suffering with neurological conditions. Now, this a measure co-sponsored by your son, Representative Matt Gaetz, and also in-state tuition for undocumented students.
Well, let me start with the one I like, and that's providing low-THC cannabis as an ointment or as a chemical that literally comes from that part of the cannabis plant that does not create euphoria, but has been shown to be extraordinarily helpful in reducing the violent seizures that are often associated with epilepsy and other debilitating conditions, and dealing with the pain and the nausea and the distress of cancer. You're right. Representative Matt Gaetz, my son, led the effort to make sure that these suffering families and suffering children would get some relief. This doesn't legalize marijuana, doesn't provide anybody with a high, but it provides some kind of relief and palliation for these symptoms that can literally cause death. Matt got it through the House of Representatives, and then he worked with a coalition of Republican and Democratic senators to get it through the Senate on the last day. And we're very, very proud that Northwest Florida families were the inspiration for Matt Gaetz to get that bill through the legislature. I was proud to support it. The one I was not so happy about is the initiative by Governor Scott to provide subsidized in-state tuition to students who are not lawfully in the United States. And the governor made this a major priority. I like the governor. He's my friend. But even friends can disagree. And this is one where I felt that draining $15,000 per year per student out of the pockets of families who are saving for their own children's education or out of the coffers of our state universities and colleges, $15,000 per year per unlawfully here student, I think is too big a subsidy to provide. Frankly, I just can't equate, in my mind, the in-state tuition benefit that we extended to our veterans, to the members of our armed services, with a similar benefit that now the legislature has and the governor have extended to people who are here unlawfully. It's going to cost about $50 million a year just for the students that we know about. If there's induced demand, it could cost a lot more. That money's coming from somebody's pocket. And, you know, when you provide a subsidized benefit to somebody, then somebody else has to pay. And I voted against it. I made sure that my views on the issue were well known to my constituents and my colleagues. But with Governor Scott's strong advocacy and support, the initiative was carried forward, and it passed the House and the Senate. So now we're one of 20 states that provide subsidized tuition to, I guess you can call them, undocumented students or illegal aliens.
Now that the session is over, your term as Senate president is coming to a close at the end of your term or this current term. And you got a pretty nice acknowledgement from your colleagues during the last week of the session.
Well, I don't know, Sandra, if it's because they were so glad to see me go, what it might be. But, yeah, my Senate term ends. I will no longer be senator for Northwest Florida after 2016. I still stay in the Senate till then. But my term as Senate president ends in November. And my Senate colleagues, every Republican and every Democrat, reached in their own pockets, and they contributed to a fund which, as it turns out, they bought a historic artifact, a handwritten letter from Winston Churchill to the president of Columbia University, a letter written in the late 1930s in which Churchill said, "I can't come to America right now because the forces of evil are so strong in Europe. I have to stay here. I have to be part of the coalition that defends my country." It was a historic letter, and they found it. My colleagues found it somewhere and bought it and presented it to me, and I'll always keep that as a reminder and an inspiration. I'm a Winston Churchill fan, so it meant a lot to me that they would do that for me. And they hung my portrait in the Capitol. Thank God for airbrushing. And that portrait will hang in the Florida Capitol for 100 years.
Very good. The final thing, sir, is about the recent flood emergency. And I see a release from the governor's office that he has, in fact, requested a major disaster declaration for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. And this,
yes,
of course, would clear the way for FEMA assistance, yes?
That's exactly what the steps are, is the governor has to ask the president. And as Senate President, I've stayed in close touch with the governor. I'm so glad he came to Pensacola immediately to offer help to local officials. And now with the strong support of those of us in the legislative delegation from Northwest Florida, Governor Scott has requested a federal disaster declaration. It opens the way for FEMA to provide material help as well as financial resources. I have a business in Pensacola. So many of my employees were seriously affected. We're helping as much as we can, but I really am grateful to the county and city officials in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties who have done so much, who aren't sleeping, who are working around the clock, and the civic workers working around the clock to help people get back on their feet. This is sort of part of who we are in Northwest Florida. We take care of each other, we take care of ourselves, and we're best when things are tough. But we now need help from the federal government. We pay the taxes that provides for this help so that businesses and families can restore life to normalcy in our community after these terrible floods.
Senator, thanks.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
Florida Senate President Don Gates, and I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.